Good afternoon. My name is Anu Rangarajan. I'm at the Department of Horticulture at Cornell. And I want to share with you some preliminary work from a long-term project that we started focusing on reducing tillage in small-scale organic farms on vegetable crops. The project itself is a collaboration between Cornell, University of Maine, and Michigan State. So the trials I'm going to share with you is just the New York results, but there's a similar trial in Maine for this part of our project. And so we're really focused on where and how can we integrate reduced tillage systems to build soil health. And within organic, we're always trying to look at the combination of crop rotations, cover crops, and amendments and the way that we integrate these. In this work, we wanted to focus in instead of broad field, full field with applications on those practices that would help an individual managing a permanent bed or a very small scale type operation where crop rotations could be more restrictive. And so perhaps cover crops and amendments could be a big part of it, but where and how can reduce tillage and reducing tillage actually improve labor, enhance soil health, and provide an economic return to the producer? We started our work by actually convening a group of 12 who we considered expert farmers from across the northern tier of the country. And we brought them together to really explore how they innovated in their system. Some were small, some were large, but all of them had a unique approach to reducing tillage in their organic vegetable crops. And in some of the trials, some of the treatments in our experiment are actually modeling and based upon the work that they're doing and talking about with their other peers. And so we feel in some ways we're examining systems they've already been promoting to assess their impact, both on the environment and the crop performance. So within a permanent bed, we already are using a restricted tillage system. It's controlled traffic by the nature of its design. So you've already dropped the amount of area that's being disturbed in the system. Usually with the permanent row tracks where your tractor traffic is restricted or even your foot labor is restricted, and all of your intensive tillage is on the bed where the crop is being produced. And so we are applying our treatment strictly to the bed. And what we have is a fairly long-term experiment, 4 years, hopefully extended beyond that, funding dependent, of course. But it is a transition. So the plots are in place and they're managed the same way from a systems perspective over the 4 years. We rotate between cabbage and winter squash, in order to give ourselves some, multiple years of data. I'm going to be just sharing with you the first year's data, on cabbage. In this experiment, the cover cropping is fairly limited. It's assuming that it's difficult in these systems to integrate cover crops all the time. So we have four levels of tillage intensity that I'm going to share with you. We have a deeper tillage, which is rototilling, to a depth of 6 inches, and then a more shallow rototilling, which is at 3 inches. And then we have a no-till system in which we don't invert the soil at all. And so it is maintained straight no-till with some management at the surface for weeds. This can be really challenging in the more northern part of the country, particularly because of soil temperature dynamics and restricted in our soils, not getting enough heat in the soils in the spring. But we are trying to adapt and adopt practices that would work for no-till. And part of that is we've added tarping to this, and I'll tell you a little bit more about tarping. There's a picture there. It's using a 6 mil impermeable type plastic, like a silage cover, that's placed on the soil before planting. And so in some cases, we had them in place over the winter, and other times just 6 weeks prior to planting. So they're laid down, and then they're removed just prior to planting, and they provide multiple benefits. Here's just some photographs of applying what in April 15th, and then once it's removed, you have pretty much no weed pressure left in the field. So you can, for our no-till systems, we are able to go into this into a weed-free sort of environment. Our system investigates the tillage systems plus a series of three types of mulching. There's a no-mulch control, and then we're also using straw hay mulch, and that's common among our producers to mulch with straw. And then no mulch or fertility that we're adding is with a compost or a blood meal and a blood meal side dress. But we are also testing a treatment that a lot of our growers are working with right now, in which they're applying a very, very high rate of compost as a surface mulch. And it's in a no-till system where they're not actually incorporating that. They're annually applying compost at a very high rate, almost an inch, to create almost a seal. It's providing a mulch-like activity. It's not always incorporated. And so we included this treatment because it's quite popular among several of our innovators that are very small-scale. But we have lots of questions, and I'm sure you do, about the nature of this type of a treatment. So one of the things that the TARP is doing for us is in the early spring, it's affecting the temperature dynamics. And so this is basically a way of representing temperature that we are using sort of a degree day accumulation, but with a soil temperature base of 40 degrees. And what we find is that just having that TARP in place does improve the warming of the soil. And so this first, you get about a week on a bare ground underneath the TARP. But if we actually have a mulch in place, like a straw mulch, or even the compost mulch, we get almost 2 weeks improvement in the earliness. That TARP helps overcome some of the cooling that the mulch might provide in the spring. One of the challenges, though, in this system, particularly with that very high application of the compost on the surface, is that we've been concerned about the accumulation of nutrients in that system. And in fact, when we had the TARP applied, when we measured early season soil nitrate, the levels were quite high. This is just pre-plant, mid-May sampling, compared to even in the no-till where it wasn't incorporated. So if you look at the no-till system and the no-till with the TARP, the management's the same except for the TARP. And you can see that the amount of nitrate that's actually mineralized in under the TARP is pretty significant over time. And this can lead to some accumulations, and we are sampling. So this is again at the beginning of the second year, at the end of the second year, where we have disturbing trends in phosphorus accumulation. But and in the cases where we're not incorporating it, where we have a no-till system without incorporating it, that is on the surface, it can still be eroded through surface soil water movement, and so. While we may not be actually seeing it in the profile, it's still a concern in the system, and so we are looking at this over time. I'm just going to share with you the results from cabbage from the first year, and we also have data from squash, but I wanted to at least focus in on this for this presentation. And so what was really interesting when we looked at the deep, the shallow, the no-till, and the no-till with a TARP, that we could have the same yields in cabbage under a no-till system in this organic system. And our yields were quite good, and it didn't, when we added the TARP, we got a slight bump in the yields with the TARP added, but overall, the tillage system was not that important. When you notice, though, with the mulching and the straw, in our case, straw mulching severely reduced the yields of cabbage, and this was primarily due to slug damage as well as slower growth. Because of the way we applied the straw, which was after planting, it cooled the soil temperatures enough that many of our plants didn't form heads. So we've changed the way that we apply the straw, but even in the case of our second year with squash, we found a reduction in yield with straw. And so this was surprising to us, but it's something that, compared to these other systems, the straw mulch is actually not performing as well as we expected. One comment, though, I wanted you to notice is that if you look at the no-till system itself, it's pretty promising. We do indeed support similar yields, even with deep-tilled rototill. So a similar sort of performance of the cabbage in that system. But that's not the whole story, as we've been sort of exploring. And this is a picture in the spring of what the systems look like. In the rototilled system, you can see a heavy amount of weed pressure, particularly chickweed that we struggle with in the Northeast. In our no-till system, while we don't have any inversion of the soil, there's still the emergence of weeds that need to be managed and controlled in the spring prior to planting. And the way we've been doing that is with a wheel hoe, so a lot of hand labor, in order to get a clean seed bed and a place to start. You can see at the bottom picture where the tarps were used, a very clean seed bed. And so a no-till system with a tarp at the start of the season is already further ahead. We actually measured the amount of labor used in every with every activity in the field. We had the usual with stopwatches and clipboards and people racing, trying to actually get these different practices done in a timely way. And when you look at the amount of time spent hand weeding in the no-till, it was pretty significantly higher than in any of the other systems. And that came, there was primarily four places in which that hand labor was really committed. Early in the season is cleaning up the beds with that wheel hoe, because we're not tilling, but we want that clean seed bed. And then pulling weeds at the end of the season that were escapes. And so while our weed pressure was not significant enough to probably affect yields, we wanted to manage the weed seed production in terms of a long-term rotation. So there was labor committed to that. When we look at then how that labor fits within the larger total of labor hours for the various systems, and you see across the bottom the various tillage, the deep, the shallow, the no-till, and the tarp. What's in any of these systems, the straw had the highest labor, plus the most poor yield. And so it's like twice it was dinged. And that was primarily with trying to actually get the straw applied and then doing volunteer weeding of some of the wheat that had come through the straw. So despite all of our efforts to get a really clean straw, this is actually a problem in a lot of straw mulch. In the case of the no-till, you can see there's extra hand preparation in the labor with the red there for the preparing of the beds. Noted was the amount of other, just the handling of the mulches in any case. But just for labor, in terms of overall, the straw mulch had the highest labor use. When we nest that within all of the other costs that we had for the various the materials costs, whether it's straw or it's compost, as well as machinery use, in the end, when we calculate partial budgets based upon these costs, overall, the no-till with the tarp ended up performing the best as far as an economic return. And we used two different types of labor accounting. One was if you were using your own labor, which is really common on a small farm, on an organic farm that might be having permanent beds, so very intensive production, not necessarily drawing their own salary from their output. Whatever's the leftover, the profit is their salary, as opposed to if they were actually paying labor. And if you look at the partial budgets with the cabbage from this particular experiment and our data here, the straw was always negative in its return, but using the tarps was a significant improvement in the no-till system. So our initial findings is that the no-till systems were performing as well as our full-depth traditional rototill, but the tarps didn't further improve that by reducing our labor costs and our hand weeding, and we think there's probably an interaction with soil temperature as well with improving crop establishment. Using the compost mulch in the first year didn't have an obvious impact on the yields, but over time we'll be able to see what's happening with this, and we already note that in our rototill treatments we're seeing an elevation in the soil nitrate levels and as well as phosphorus. So we want to be able to talk about this with growers that are promoting this and be able to sort of provide critical feedback to them on how to modify this. If there was a different type of compost material they could use to achieve the same outcome of that mulching system without having the input of nutrients, I think that would be a step forward. Our cabbage labor costs. Straw mulches just really failed on multiple levels in this experiment. In other cases, it's probably better, but for us, they were extremely high when we talked about how much time it took to put that straw down and manage it. And the no-tills with the tarps had the highest net returns overall. So that's where we are with the first year. I'd like to thank the OREI again for funding this research, and it is a collaboration, and it's pretty complicated. I only told you about four of the tillage systems, but there's another four we didn't even talk about. So, anyways, thank you.
Thank you, Hanu. There's not really time for questions.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I will be around, though. Thank you.